start this morning. Transitions. You've probably heard that the only thing in life that's constant is change, right? There's no way of avoiding it. Even when you try to stop change from happening, what tends to happen anyway? Change. You really can't stop it. But what do you do when one season of life ends? Like a lot of our youth, a lot of our kids are dealing with, when one season of life stops and another one begins. I mean, life changes, they can be so exciting, can they? Because of the opportunities, the unknown of what's coming. But at the same time, isn't it? That could be scary, isn't it? That could be fearful. It's like, well, I've never been there before. I remember, you know, being on the plane with my suitcase flying off to college. I had no idea what was coming in front of me. All I knew is that that's where God wanted me to go. But so you're excited, but you're afraid. Now, so how do you navigate the big transitions in life? And that's really what we want to talk about this morning, is how do you do that? Matter of fact, transition, if you look in the dictionary, it's defined as passage from one state, one stage, or one place to another. And it's funny, because if you look in the dictionary, in all caps, and usually when something's in all caps, what does that mean? Someone's shouting it normally, right? So when someone texts you in all caps, it's their way of saying, hey! Well, in all caps was the word change. With transition, there's change. Now, so we know this is true, though. If we keep doing the same thing, but if we expect different results, that's actually the definition of insanity. It's not possible. If you're going to do the same thing, what are you going to probably get? The same results. If you want something different in your life, you need to do something different. So we know that when we hit transitions in life, change, movement, cost, and effort are all required. They're all required in order to do it. Now, what I want to do this morning is I want to invite a few people up, and what they're going to do is they're going to talk about transitions in their own life. They're probably going to talk about how they approached it, what happened, and sometimes they were very successful transitions. Sometimes they may not have been. But I think what we can do is we can all learn how we can deal with transitions, and we can celebrate in each other's successes, but we can also learn from each other's mistakes so we don't repeat them. Doesn't that make sense? Amen. So first I want to invite up our brand new graduate, Philip Mallett. You can.
I know I might do some walking around. Hi, everyone. So I'm going to try and get this done in the 3 to 5 minutes that he asked me to. I can't promise. I'm not going to lie. But I'm going to split it into three parts. I'm going to talk about the past, the present, and the future, and how that relates to me listening or maybe not listening to the voice of God in the midst of major life transitions for me. I'll start with the past. It's still not the easiest thing for me to talk about, but towards the end of seventh grade, entering into eighth grade, is when our family made our move from Southington to Middletown. I was leaving behind everything I knew, everything I was comfortable with, all the people, all the places, and I really didn't know what to do with myself. I felt lost, alone, helpless, and I was really angry about everything because the whole thing just felt so unfair to me. I wasn't listening for the voice of God in my life at all. Looking back, I would say I was so blinded by my whirlwind of emotions that I wouldn't have even thought to consult God, listen to what he would have to say to me. As a result, I spiraled into depression and anxiety, and I struggled in most aspects of my life. Looking back, that's one of my biggest regrets, is not seeking the voice of God. I feel that time in my life could have been much easier. Maybe he would have had something, even just a voice of comfort in my life. It would have been huge if only I had been willing to listen. Now, on a more positive note, we'll get to the present. Just a few weeks ago, I did something that at that time in my life I never thought I would have done. And I walked across that stage with a diploma in my hand. And and yes, in a few weeks, and it's crazy to really think that, I am going off to college. It was not an easy journey to figure out where I would be going from here. Since freshman year, I've been very heavily seeking the voice of God as to where he would want me to go, what he would want me to do, who he wanted me to be, because this next four-year journey is going to define everything for me, really. I did a number of things to try and listen for the voice of God. Constant prayer on my own. I sought wise counsel out from those around me and asked those around me to pray alongside me. I took various classes at the high school to try and discover my weaknesses, my strengths, and what I like to do, because obviously that's important for the rest of your life. But over the next 3 years or so, I didn't get much of anything. And those were some very discouraging times as I felt the pressure of the deadlines coming closer and closer, knowing I got to make this decision and I have no clue where I'm going to go, what I'm going to do. March of junior year, I went to a college weekend at Oral Roberts University down in Oklahoma. And I spent just a day or two there. And it's plain to see, with God's presence flowing throughout the entire campus, that there's no doubt that's where I'm supposed to be for the next 4 years of my life. And during a powerful time of campus worship, on that first day I was there, I felt the Lord speaking to me and telling me that I'm supposed to pursue a major in business. As you can see, eventually I got some clarity, but there's still so much unknown. Where to go with business? There's about a million ways you can go with business. It's a little discouraging, to tell you the truth, to be going in and not knowing everything. And I am nervous about what's to come, but I can say with confidence that I've approached everything the right way. And I can stand in the satisfaction knowing that God's going to come through and tell me the rest, just like he has already revealed all this other stuff for me. And then we're here in the future, and who knows where that's going to lead me. I'm really going in semi-blind. I know where I'm going. I know sort of what I'm studying. I don't know where that's going to take me. I'm feeling hopeful, and I'm feeling afraid. I'm looking for clarity over these next couple years of college, and I'm believing that God's going to give it to me. I mean, just 1 or 2 days on that campus, and I found out everything I know already. And I wrote out this conclusion very specifically. Your prayers and words of encouragement at this point in my life are more important than ever as I make what will be a life-transforming decision. And as I conclude, I would like to, and I hope that what I've said has made an impact on some of you today, that listening for the voice of God during these major transitions in life, there's no other way you should approach it. What he has planned for you is good, and it will always be good, and it will always be better than our human-made plans. And you don't want to miss out on what God has planned for you.
So for the next testimony, what I wanted to do was to kind of give you a view of someone who's now been in college for a little while, but, you know, they may not. Sometimes when you go to college, things either work exactly how you planned or they don't. So I'll let Nicole Onis kind of share what God's been doing in her life.
I'm a millennial. Good morning, church. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Nicole. I graduated from Middletown High School in 2016, so this fall I will be an incoming senior at Southern Connecticut State University. If you knew me back in high school, you probably knew that I always had a plan, whether that was for what I was doing after school or what I thought I had wanted to do after high school. I always had a dead set plan for myself, or so I thought that that was what I was going to do. I wanted to go to school in California because at the time that was where my dad was working, and it was my absolutely favorite state. But after receiving a lack of financial aid, Southern was my only option. And at first I was very discouraged because I thought that all the hard work I had done in high school was, in a way, wasted. Because I really wanted to leave Connecticut and have like a fresh start for my future. And I prayed about it a lot. I cried and I was mad at God, but I prayed a lot. And he reassured me that he's not going to put me anywhere that I'm not supposed to be. And so I kept that faith with me during my first couple of years of college. The major that I had went into my freshman year was pre-nursing. I gave a testimony, I think, last year or 2 years ago about how the nursing program works, and you have to apply into the program. And in my graduating class, they only took 60 students. While I was in the top 100, that's still not the top 60. So I was forced to make a decision to either stay or leave Southern. And again, I was really discouraged because I thought I had done everything I was supposed to do. I had gotten really good grades. I got a really good score on the T's, but somehow it just wasn't good enough for that major. And I was really nervous to tell our church family about me not like getting into what I had intended to do, because I know people prayed for me and had really been like cheering me on and stuff. But after telling pastors and the small group on Tuesday at the Perez home and all the other church family members that I have, they continued to pray for me to hear from God and where I was going to lead next. And so I switched to public health, and if you don't know what that is, it's basically a really broad major covering many different aspects in healthcare. So, yeah, and I was still really unsure because it wasn't something that my family has heard before, and if you know my family, they're all in nursing, so they were like, what is that? Like, and I was like, I don't really know either, but we're going to do it anyway. And this past spring, I had applied to be a resident advisor, and God had given me that opportunity. And I was really nervous at first if I was made for this position, because if you don't know what a resident advisor is, it's basically the cops of the dorms. So you're really viewed as a bad guy, and like people like tend to avoid you because they know you're probably wanting to get them in trouble. But I was nervous because I thought, who would listen to this 4'11 girl? Like, no one's going to listen to me. I wasn't sure if I was cut out for this position. But I prayed about it, and I knew that God put me there for a reason. And being in a secular university, you encounter so many different situations that you normally wouldn't in a Christian university. And in the beginning, I had wanted to go to California Baptist University. And at that point, I was like, okay, this is why God wants me at Southern. Like, maybe I will be able to touch many lives of residents who don't know who God is. And fortunately, I was able to. And I've shared my faith, and I've met so many other Christian residents who I pray with and study with, and everything had really come full circle in the social aspect, so I was really happy about that. And I saw many different aspects of my character and like my strengths and my weaknesses that I didn't know were there before, and I'm able to delegate and reinforce rules, but also being a friendly face to those who really need it. Now, after taking this position, I have also been thinking about being a healthcare administrator. So after college, I'll probably work for a couple of years, hopefully if I get a job, God willing, and then go back to school to pursue that. I have an internship in the spring semester coming for me. I don't know what it is yet, but I'm still praying about that too. Do I think that the option for being a nurse is completely closed? I don't think so, but what I do know is that through it all, I've learned that we can't walk this life alone. You need to surround yourself with people who will be there and be willing to pray for you and work with you. And it's okay to ask for help. I was always the kind to, like want to do everything on my own and be like the girl who like knew exactly what she wanted to do, but we're not perfect and no one's perfect. So it's okay to lean on other people, and we really can't live this life alone. Does the fact that I'm going to be entering the real world in about a year scare me? Absolutely. Absolutely. But I believe that God won't put you anywhere that you're not supposed to be. And I don't know where exactly God will put me next, but I know that if I continue to trust in him and put my faith in him, that he will make my path straight. Thank you.
That's cool. That's cool. See, because if you'll learn that some transitions in life have little to no details. They really don't. It's literally just God saying, go. Matter of fact, in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you." I mean, that's basically God literally looking at Abraham and saying, all right, get up and go that way. Matter of fact, he didn't even point. He literally just said, get up and go. And what I find interesting is that Abraham never would have known where God was going to send him unless he did the immediate obedient step, which was, all right, I got to get up and go. All right, well, I guess I'll get up and actually go in motion. See, it wasn't until Abraham actually started to move where God would be able to direct him which direction to go, which I kind of find, think of it, it's kind of funny. It's quite possible that Abram got up, started to move, and God was like, all right, now I want you to go that way, you know, but I at least got you in motion. Haven't you learned that that's usually the hardest thing in life is to actually start, is to get up and move? People stay in bad relationships, bad jobs, bad environments because they're not willing to get their butts up and actually begin to move, to allow change to happen in your life. I mean, how many of us have done that? We never have gotten up. So God has never been able to reveal to us what our good future is. I mean, Genesis 12:4. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him. And Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed Haran. Thankfully, he obeyed God. He did. He got up and moved forward. How many people never end up where God wants them to be because they lack that initial step of obedience? The get up and move. Now, what I would like to do is to invite up Pastor Tori Brooks, who is going to talk about some of the transitions that are happening in her life.
Good morning. As you just heard, my name is Pastor Tori, and my husband and I have been here for just about the last 5 years as the youth and children's pastors. And just like when we first got here, we had a lot of big transitions in our lives in one fell swoop. That seems to kind of be the story of my life, it feels like, because I've noticed that as a pattern. But having all of these massive changes in such rapid succession has led me to a really deep level of trust in God, because if he does not pull through, I am hung out to dry big time. But he always has. He always does. He's always faithful. I remember last year, I was sitting right next to Miss Pearl in a service in January, and it was a time of worship, and I felt the Lord speak to me and say, "Awake, sleeper, the time for dreaming has ended, and the time," was not anticipating that, excuse me, "the time for actions and fulfilling those dreams has come." And I was like, this is awesome, I'm so excited. What does this mean? I'm like, I have a lot of dreams. There's a lot of things that you've placed in my heart. What exactly do you want me to do? So since it was a time of prayer and fasting, that gave me a space to really focus and to really, you know, pray and seek the Lord. And I asked a couple Christian mentors of mine, people who I trusted, to be praying with me, and obviously my husband as well, because you know how that goes. So we had these people praying that God would really reveal to me what it was that he wanted us to do. And during the course of the next few months, it became abundantly clear to us that the two things, well, to me, it was motherhood and missions, obviously fatherhood for him. I remember I had the opportunity to go to Fine Arts and Youth Convention as a leader, and it's crazy how even when you go as like a leader for things, God still finds you where you are, and he makes a space to speak to you. Yes, you're there serving, you're there giving, you're there loving the students, but he doesn't leave you by yourself. He speaks to you as well. So during the worship service, I remember the Lord really, like, that whole motherhood thing was, like, really, you know, nailed in. So I was like, all right, you know, we kind of asked our counsel afterwards, we're like, have you heard anything? Because, like, we sort of really got the all clear, and, you know, they were like, we haven't really heard either way, so, you know, whatever you feel. So we're like, okay, you know. So obviously, we have a beautiful six-month-old. Her name is Carice, and she is in the nursery now. But at camp, we, again, I was blessed to be able to be a leader. We had a missions-focused night, and I remember they had us as leaders praying for the students, but then at one point, the speaker said, this is such an important thing to be praying about. I don't want the leaders to just be praying for the students. I want them to be praying as well. Who in your sphere of influence does God want you to speak to? Who does he want to use you to reach? And I, my goodness. I remember the Lord gave me the name of one of Pastor Richard's cousins. In Pastor Richard's family, on his mom's side, his mom is the only one who's a believer. And I really felt like the Lord was saying that we're going to be instrumental in the lives of this one particular cousin, and that the Lord is going to change his heart. And when his heart is changed, the whole family is going to see that life change in him, and that they're going to, God's going to be glorified in that. And little did I know that, like, 10 feet across the hall, thank you. 10 feet across the stage, Pastor Richard was hearing the same thing. And so we really felt like in this next season, we were going to be with his family, and that's in Belgium. And it was kind of a bunch of things that sort of started to fall into place with a master's degree program there that my husband's going to be going to. We've been in talks with the school and we're getting everything. I still have a visa and stuff to work out, but we're taking the next step. There's one class that he needs to take before he has all of the prerequisites for this program, and in August we're going to be moving down to New Jersey, and he's going to be taking that last class, and that's our next step. That's the next thing that the Lord is leading. And there were so many different times, and there were different spaces where we just positioned ourselves to hear from the Lord. We spent time in prayer. We spent time in worship. I know that our worship is really awesome. I love the worship at this church. I'm going to miss the worship at this church. I really encourage you, those of you who come on the later side, really try to make it for the worship, because there's such a powerful time where the Holy Spirit just wants to impart, and he wants to speak to you, and he wants to give you wisdom and direction, and he meets us here. So I just want to encourage you to please make a point. Just making that space to just hear from God, it really makes a difference, and he gives you every single step that you need. Well, I'm way not what I was planning on saying. So let's see. Okay. The last thing I want to just leave you with is my life verse. John 6:68. Jesus had been teaching to the masses, and there was a teaching that he gave that was really hard, and a lot of people couldn't accept it, wouldn't accept it. And so they turned away from Jesus. And I remember the first time I read it, where I really saw, like, the humanness of Jesus. And he turned to his 12 closest friends, those who he invested so much time into, and he said, are you going to leave me too? And Peter, who usually gets his foot stuck in his mouth, said this really wonderful thing: "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Sometimes God asks us to do challenging things. He asks us to do things that don't make sense, that seem really, really hard. But just like when Peter was confronted with a difficult decision, he chose Jesus because he knew that there was no one else worth turning to in those times of challenges and in the times of transition. So my encouragement for us today is that no matter what challenge or transition you're going through, that you turn to Jesus and that we all have that faith. Amen.
Now, as I talked about before, some transitions, it literally is God just pointing and just saying, go, and really gives no other details. But God doesn't always work that way. Sometimes God may literally give you an exact point-by-point plan of what he wants you to do. Matter of fact, you'll find the story in Luke chapter 1. You can read it sometime. It's the story about Zechariah. And he had a huge transition that happened in his life way later in his life. Him and his wife were pretty old, and they didn't have any kids. And literally the word of God came to him in very specific terms. You're going to have a son, you're going to name him this. And the specifics of exactly what that word was, it shocked him. Matter of fact, it was so specific, he didn't even believe it. Read the story for yourself. But, you know, even though he didn't believe it, it didn't stop God's will from happening. So even if you don't believe God, God's still God. He's still sovereign. He's still able to accomplish his plan and purpose. He is. And God will often speak things to us that he wants us to do. Sometimes those transitions will literally be get up and go. Sometimes it may be literally like a Gideon. This is how the battle's going to go. This is going to happen. This is the outcome. He'll give you the whole plan or something anywhere in between. What it is, my question is what will you do when you hear the voice of God? When God speaks to you, what do you do with it? Are you at least going to do the first part, which is to get up and change, to get in motion? Now, I want to have at least one more testimony. Ken, why don't you come on up? And Ken's going to kind of talk about some of the transitions that have been happening in his life. I think that turned it on or off. I'm not sure. I think I may have turned it off. Sorry.
Hello. Is that better? Yeah. Good. Good morning. I just wanted to share that today is my birthday. And I'm turning 58 today. So looking back at my life, I can see God's hand in my life over the years. And I'd like to share some of those transitions that have occurred over my life. I'd like to start in 1983. I was a senior in college. And I thought, I was going through the interview process with a couple of different firms. One was a consulting firm. The other was a small company called Texas Instruments. And they were both based out of Massachusetts. And I thought for sure I was going to end up living and working in Massachusetts. And then I attended this job fair at college, and I met the CIO of Northeast Utilities. And he handed me his card, and I said, okay, cool. So I sent him my resume. I got a couple interviews, first and second interview. I actually got a job offer through Northeast Utilities. But my heart was still in Massachusetts. But those offers never came. God shut those doors. And I thought I had really good interviews with those two firms. So I ended up, it was actually a good thing in a way, I got a job in Connecticut with Northeast Utilities, and I'm still working there today. It was closer to my parents. So the next year, my wife graduated from college, which wasn't my wife at the time, but in 1980, 1994, we got married in June, and she got a job in Hartford, and we set up our roots here in Middletown. So God was starting to lay a foundation of what I was supposed to do. And then about a year later, I was attending a congregational church, and I met some Christians outside of that church. And one of them gave me a book, and it's nothing special about the book, but it was through A.W. Tozer, if those of you know him as an author. I got so convicted, God just radically changed me and saved me reading that book. And then I started looking for a church. And in January of 1986, I found a church called Faith Assembly, which was this church. And later on, we became Faith Christian Assembly. But they sold, about 10 months later, they sold that property, and we moved into a school. And in that school, I started playing a snare drum for the church. And I had played previously, like in elementary and junior high, through orchestra and pep band or whatever. But that's where we started our small little worship team in this church. And then gradually, we added drums and other instruments, but, you know, God had his hand in all of that. I think I would like to just jump now ahead to 2002, because this is a work incident where the director in IT that I was working for at Northeast Utilities, he said, we're going to start an architecture group, and I think you should apply. I'm like, I was a senior programmer, I was a team lead, and I'm like, I'm really happy with what I'm doing. I don't see any reason to change. But I talked to God, and I said, all right, God, I'm going to apply. We'll see what happens. I got the job with a couple of other people because they had multiple positions that they filled. And that was actually a blessing in disguise. Because 10 years later, Northeast Utilities merged with NSTAR out of Boston, and they became Eversource. Well, shortly thereafter, they did a major layoff in IT, and if I'd stayed in the job that I was in before, I would have lost my job. But God saw that ahead 10 years prior, and he started positioning me. And, you know, I made it through that layoff, and I'm still working there today. I've been there now in 2016. I qualified for full pension if I ever leave there, and I'm starting to think about what's next in my life. I've been working there over 36 years, and I'm starting to say, well, when do I stop working? When do I go on to the next chapter of my life? Many of you know I have a condo in Arizona. I like to go out there in the winter months, and I think I'm sorting that out in my life of what to do next, where should I be and where should I live, and what's the next chapter of my life look like. So one of the things that I just want to close with is throughout my whole life, my life scripture has been Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And that's trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not onto your own understanding. But in all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. Hallelujah. And maybe that's for you, Philip, because that's something I've done and I've seen God position and put the puzzle pieces together, and then you see what a beautiful canvas he creates when you do that. So that's for someone. I know it's probably for you too.
You see how it's cool how God is just able in each individual's life, no matter where you're at in life. One thing's always true with every one of those testimonies is that, number one, God speaks. He does. God is always speaking to you. The question is, A, are you willing to listen? And B, are you willing to obey? You have to have both, right? You can hear the word, but if you're not willing to do it, it's not going to do you any good. You could be a doer, but if you don't know what God's telling you because you don't take the time to listen, it's not going to do you a lot of good either. But here, let me end with this, and then we'll have some pizza. Now, with every transition in life, I can tell you there's going to be two things. There's an ending, and there's a beginning. That's what happens in transitions. So number one, end it completely. When God transitions you, end it completely. I mean, how many times have we tried to maybe break a habit, but later went back to them? Or we tried to end a relationship, and then we called them again. And we knew that God was saying, no, stop. It's not where you're supposed to be. See, when God says it's time for something to end, it's time for it to end. I mean, what if Abraham decided, you know, I kind of like living with mom and dad. I don't want to move out of the house. What if Zachariah said, I'm not ready to be a dad. I'm too old for this. There's no way I want to start being a dad at this age. Look, what if Jesus said, God, there has to be a different way than me dying on the cross. This is too painful. This costs too much. God, give me a different way of doing this. Philippians 3:13 says, brothers and sisters, I don't consider that I have taken a hold of it yet. But here's the one thing I do, forgetting what is behind me. What I find interesting is that word forget. I actually went to 8 different translations. You know what? Every single one of those translations use the exact same word, forget or forgetting. They all use the same. And if you look at what it means, it says to forget, to put out of your mind, to ignore. It literally means to have it not even be a part of what is going on in your life. And what I love about this scripture is it doesn't differentiate between a good past and a bad past. Did you notice that? It says forgetting the past. It doesn't say forget your bad past. It says forget your past. Now, it's interesting. I mean, some of you may say, well, why do I need to forget it? I mean, look, unless you let go of the victories and the failures of the past, you'll never be able to reach the next mountaintop. Now, that doesn't mean you can't celebrate the victories. I'm not saying that. You should celebrate your victories. Just don't live in them. There's a difference, right? And I'm not saying that you can't remember your past failures, because you want to remember your past failures, right? So you don't repeat them. Or you can help someone else avoid them. Just don't live in your past failures. There's a big difference. We don't have to pretend those things didn't happen. We just choose not to live there anymore. They're a trap, and they will stop you from accomplishing what God has in store for you in your life. Look, FCA has had some really cool things that have happened here, but if all we do is just talk about the past and what's happened there, we'll never reach the next mountaintop. We won't. Look, FCA has had some struggles. There's been difficult things that have happened, but if we stay there, we'll never see the next victory. You've got to forget past. So end it completely. Completely. And then number two, start it immediately. End what God says end, and immediately start what God says do. Because God says it's time to go, get up and go now. Don't wait. Now. Do it immediately. Let's read all of Philippians 3:13. Brothers and sisters, I don't consider that I've taken a hold of it yet, but here's the one thing I do. I forget what's behind me. I push hard toward what is ahead of me. I will move on toward the goal to win the prize. God has appointed me to win it. The heavenly prize is Jesus Christ himself. So when you're moving forward, I like the way it says it. Push hard. Give it everything you got. Be like that runner who sees the finish line, and it doesn't matter how tired you are, you see it and you give everything you got. I remember I love watching my son run. I love being about 100 yards away from the end. That's where I like to sit. I want to sit at that 100-yard mark, because you know what? I know when he goes around that last bend, he's got nothing left. There's nothing left. I mean, he's literally given, at least in his mind, he's given everything he's got. I want to be that guy at the very end that says, 100 yards, bud. Everything you got, pour, dig deep, leave nothing on the table. That's what God's calling us to do. End the past. Know where you are right now. And then look ahead. See where God's calling you to and give it everything everything you got. Push hard. You can't push hard if you're not in motion. You can't give everything you've got if you're standing still. Look, the hardest part of running is the start. Don't stop running. I challenge my son. I'm like, buddy, because his goal is to get to 7 miles nonstop running, then 8, then 9, then 10. Well, right now, what is he at about? 6-ish. I'm like, buddy, when you hit that 6-ish, and everything inside you is saying, you're just tired, walk for a little bit. No, push. Push harder. Dig in deeper. Allow the Holy Spirit to be that power inside you that you just don't know where it came from to finish strong. Don't walk to the end. Push hard. So, like I said, I don't know where you're at in life. Some of you are facing some transitions that are big. Some of you don't even know. You're about to hit them. God's kind of starting to poke you a little bit, saying, it's coming. Be ready. Be prepared. Some of you are right in the thick of it. And you're like, what's going on, God? I mean, I'm excited, but I'm scared. What do I do, God? How do I do it? Keep asking. He's not afraid of the question. But when you find out, give it everything you got and run. Run like there's no tomorrow. Because you know what? Tomorrow's not promised to you. So run with everything you got. Push to the end. And you'll see what God can accomplish in you and through you. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
So why don't you stand with me this morning? I want to pray for some of you because I believe that some of you are going through some transitions. And so what I want to do, I want to just believe that God's got the right plan at the right time, and you just need to surrender. You just need to say, God, I'm open to anything and everything.